right, here he is, the new superintendent of the Chicago Police Department. Eddie Johnson is on the Super Celebrity Hotline. Superintendent Johnson, thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate your time. I know it is very precious right now. Obviously, sir, you have been in the Chicago Police Department for decades. You're very familiar with the institution. You're very familiar with the problems on the street. But it maybe it is this local new eyes approach that is going to make some differences here. What do you think right now you're going to offer that is going to be a change in direction that you hope will solve some of these problems that we're looking at?
Well, first of all, Ro and Anna, thank you for having me today. Mm-hmm. But I think that first and foremost, I think if we can restore the trust that the community has in the police department, that'll go a long way in towards reducing some of this violence. You know, I've been doing a lot of listening in the last month and a half, and one of the things I keep hearing, the common theme, is the trust that the community has. And I can tell you, what I say to you, I believe that the police department is only as strong as the trust that the community has in it. I actually believe that.
Yeah, I don't doubt that, because the problems, it seems to me, in covering this my whole professional life here and you know, thinking about these problems and being involved in police charities and things like that, talking to police officers, it does seem to me that the experience of cops on the street in Chicago is that they deal with very different cultures. When you're dealing with the gang culture, when you're dealing with the organized crime aspect of kids being inculcated into a gang structure, either by their families or their peers or whatever else it happens to be, you're dealing with a completely different mindset of a citizen. They're not citizens in the sense that we think of. They're people who are living in their own economy, in their own reality, with their own mores, values, and rules. And how does the, you know, civilization as a whole, the, you know, Chicago, deal with people who don't really care if they're killing a 9-year-old kid?
Well, you know, that's a great point, you know, but to the police department's end of it, that's why it's so important that the police begin to understand and know the people in the community that they serve, because some kids are out there, you know, they dress a certain way because they're just trying to survive and get back and forth. So we have to know who those kids are and identify them correctly and then target the ones that are committing these nefarious acts.
Right. Superintendents, are you talking about a return to what they used to call community policing, where the same beat officers are out there in the same community every day, getting to know the names of the people there, and that sort of system? Because I know in the past the city's experimented with these teams that would respond to violence when they happen, and they would be more citywide. There's been a movement away from that.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I do believe that the more that the officers on the street come in contact with the communities that they serve, the more they'll understand who these people are and be able to tell the difference between the bad guys and the good guys. Because, you know, like I said before, if we can restore that trust that the community has, they'll be more comfortable with letting us know what's going on in their community. And that in and of itself will help reduce crime.
All right, let's look at it from the other perspective here, though, too, is police officers trusting their bosses to have their backs in or the system, I guess, not even just their bosses. I think the system as a whole, to have their backs when they get involved in traffic stops, or, you know, what you saw happen in the Laquan McDonald situation, or anything else in which there is going to be confrontation between an armed citizen and a Chicago police officer. I think, you know, what you hear now, and we've heard it before, and you've been around, I mean, I don't need to tell you any of this, right? You know it very intimately, but to put it at least in the perspective of, you know, people who just observe this and wonder what's really going on, there are some issues where cops are like, hey, I don't know if I can trust to get out of my car, because I make a traffic stop and some guy runs on me and I have to go take him out, and then who's going to back me up?
Yep, that is very true, and it's certainly a concern of the police officers out on the street, you know, but I try to encourage them and need them to know, you know, when they're 100% right when they're doing their job, they don't need me to back them up or support them, because that 100% will cover them. It's when they make honest mistakes is when they need me. And then if that happens, then, you know, we get them more training, coaching, mentoring, and get them back on the right track. You know, but it is a concern of all officers. If anybody out there thinks being a police officer is easy, they've never done it, because it is a difficult job. But one of my challenges is to encourage them and to let them know that if they make honest mistakes, you know, they'll have the support of the department.
The other thing, Superintendent, I think that's gotten a lot of attention post-Laquan McDonald shooting has been officers' ability within the department to report corruption or wrongdoing that they see on the force within their own ranks. And even though that may be a very, very small percentage of guys who are not doing the right thing on a regular basis, you would think that the people within the department would be best suited to know who they are and be able to root them out. But the system has seemed to reinforce a code of silence. And only 1 in 1,000 complaints against officers are ever substantiated or found to be disciplinary or there any disciplinary action enforced. How do you reverse that? What kind, or do you even feel that that is something that needs to be reversed?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, one officer engaging in misconduct paints us all in a bad picture. And believe it or not, good cops don't like bad cops making us all look bad. So one of the challenges that I have right now is to create a mechanism to be able to report misconduct when you see it without facing any ostracism or, you know, just not being welcomed by the rest of your colleagues. So that is a challenge, but we're working on that right now. As a matter of fact, we're working with some outside agencies to help us do that, you know, because CPD is not perfect and we don't have all the answers. So, you know, we can have a fresh set of eyes looking at things to kind of direct us in the right direction, as well as looking at best practices across the country. I think at some point we'll get there, but it definitely needs to be addressed.
All right, so do you believe, and if you could wave a magic wand right now and get resources that you needed, what would be the priority here? What do you want more right now, more of right now that you think you need?
If I could wave a magic wand right now to get one thing, it would be a system so that we could identify police officers that need help or identify police officers that might be going off the rail a little bit. Because if we can get that down to little or nothing, then I think that the city benefits from something like that.
It's interesting because you were just involved. Do I have this right? That you were just in, there was a police officer, woman, who had taken herself hostage, essentially, in her own home on the city's south side. And 2 days ago, and you actually got involved in the negotiation of having her put down the weapon and come out, right?
That's correct. She's going through some personal stresses, and that just illustrates that police are subject to the same things that the average citizen is. But, you know, I know that it was a little against protocol and it hasn't been done before.
Mm-hmm.
The negotiators, if they could get me to the scene. So, you know, if there's ever a time that I can be of some service and to help people, then, you know, that's my obligation to do it. So I was able to calm her down and get her to put down the weapons and come out of the
house. Did you know her? Had you worked with her?
I knew her from my days in the 6th District back in the 90s, but I hadn't seen her in years. But, yeah, I did
that's
know who she was.
That's, well, congrats. I mean, great work. I mean, it is an interesting thing because I think, you know, mm-hmm. getting to know superintendents over the years, people think, I think there's, I think even amongst cops, but mm-hmm. there's, you know, journalists and citizens and everything. Well, superintendent, that's a boss. That's a guy sits in an office or whatever. Everyone that I've ever known has not, well, with the exception maybe of one, mm-hmm. has never sat in an office. They're out on the streets. They're out doing things and trying to connect with, you know, with not only the cops, but the people. They're trying to figure out what it is. So
well,
that's really something special.
And you seem to have the respect of the rank and file right mm-hmm. now, which puts you in a very, it puts you in a position where you can actually impact change within the department and within the communities. Mm-hmm. I know, Superintendent, you had success when you were Deputy Chief of Patrol in decreasing violence in a very highly violent area. And I wonder, you know, how you did it, and are there some tools there that you learned that you're going to apply now? Because we, of course, are seeing what's happening in our city every week, every day. And the violence and the killings, they're at 1990s levels. There's a lot of work ahead of you.
Absolutely. But I will tell you this. I don't micromanage. However, I will say this. We were very successful in reducing violence when I was the Deputy Chief of Area Central. So some of those strategies, I've talked to the other command staff members about it. So we're going to implement some of those things and see if we can, you know, replicate the success that we had from a few years ago.
How do you feel about task forces, whether it's federal and county or state or things like that? Does the Chicago Police Department, do you think, want or need aid from other agencies here?
Well, I think there's definitely a value in partnering with our federal and county and local partners. That there's always some value and utilizing someone else's assets. So yeah, I do submit to that. I like that idea.
Okay, including patrols or just coordination?
Listen, with the crime rate that we have right now in Chicago, I think the more people we can put on the street, the more boots on the ground is welcome. So I have no objection to other law enforcement agencies helping us out.
Yeah.
When do you think you're going to start implementing some changes? I know right now you're trying to figure out causes. You're getting an idea of what exactly might need to be changed and the kinds of policies you're going to have moving forward. I know the Department of Justice is engaged in a year-long investigation of the police department, and they will be coming up with some suggestions also. What happens now? What kind of timeline are you working on, Superintendent?
Well, we don't have the timeline etched out like that. However, I can tell you this. It's not going to be a long process because the crime won't wait for that.
Yeah.
But we are looking at everything that we've done successfully in the past, and if those things were effective before, we will be rolling them out again.
All right, before we let you go, obviously as a Chicago police officer for as many years as you have been, for almost 30 years. Just we're going to all have to get over that now.
you're still not old.
I know, and I've been covering the town for the same amount of time, which is really bad. I mean, I don't like the fact that
been on the job for 30 years.
We came on the job at the same time.
Eddie's been exposed to a little more risk than you have, I would say.
Just
a little.
Sometimes the air conditioning breaks in here. I want to just sort of understand, as you're looking at this from this perspective, certainly as someone who's covering it versus someone who's doing it, very, very different. But it seems to me that we're sliding away from advances that we had made in the 2000s and even in the 1990s to some degree, because obviously the economy has changed. We have not really fully recovered from 2008. I don't care what the economist tells us about what's happening on Wall Street. You go down to the street level of people who have to go find jobs and how they operate and school and all
Absolutely.
The rest of those things and
Agreed.
The Chicago Public School, that there's still tons of economic stress here. And that has something to do with it. But I also get a feeling that between social media and just the coarseness of the culture in some ways, it's worse than it has been. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, well, I think some of the problems that we're seeing now is the ages of kids that are willing to carry guns and use them has come down. We're having 15 and 16-year-olds now being the perpetrators of gun violence. But at the same time, I think that we need help. And when I say we, I mean CPD. We need help from our judicial partners and our legislators in terms of holding people accountable. There's a small subsection of people that are committing these offenses, about roughly 1,300, 1,400. So we know who those people are, but what we need help in is ensuring that we hold those individuals accountable. So I wouldn't say it's worse than it's ever been. We just have to get better at holding people accountable.
Okay, so you just said 1,300 or 1,400 people are on that. What do they call that list now? That's a new term.
That's the SSL list.
Yeah, and what does that stand for?
The Strategic Subject List. And what that does, it doesn't identify people by race or gender or anything like that. It simply identifies them in terms of contact they've had with police and the violent crime that's been in their background.
Right. 20 years ago, you'd call that the knucklehead list. And now...
Oh, gosh.
Right? I mean, that's the way it was. All right. Superintendent, thank you so much for spending your time with us, and best of luck, sir.
Thanks, Superintendent.
And have a great weekend.
Thank you, too.
You too.
All right. That's the hardest job in America
right
now.
Oh, boy, stepping into what he's stepping into.
I know we're late here, but we wanted to give him as much time as possible.